This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Of course, this is Enterprise Biz Bites, as was just mentioned on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me in the studio today is...
Arvini Brunch.
It is just coming up to 12:05 p.m. The sun is out, the sky is blue, there are white fluffy clouds. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And we are talking about technology today. So our question that we always have for you guys on Biz Bites is as follows.
When should children start having personal tech devices like a phone, a laptop, a tablet, and why? We have some options over on Twitter, which are from the start, when they start school, as late as possible, or when they are adults.
Yes. We also have a similar poll on Instagram as well. It's like a little slider poll thing. So, you know, definitely get in touch with us, Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio, or on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. What's our second story?
Second story is talking about how migrant worker employers must get them vaccine registered as well.
Yes. And then we'll be wrapping up with a little reminder slash kind of PSA about Microsoft Malaysia's massive upskilling project. Mm-hmm. So that is what we're going to wrap up with. But we are starting with this question of children and tech because of an article that I found on Inc.com. So, you know, I think we've sort of touched on this a little bit yesterday when we did our Instagram for Kids story where... screen time, social media usage, the internet, owning tech devices in general has sort of become a bit of a dispute and a discussion, especially as it's become, you know, more commonplace for kids to be using tech devices, right? And, you know, take a look at Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. They're tech giants, but they've been famously strict about how much screen time they've allowed for their own children. Mm-hmm. Like, Steve Jobs didn't let his kids use the iPad that he actually helped to invent. And Bill Gates also banned his kids from getting phones until they were 14 years old. So it kind of feels a little bit like, you know, these are founders of massive tech companies and they seem to know what too much time on devices might do to developing minds, right? So this is a solution that another tech executive has suggested from this article on Inc.com, which we'll link in the podcast as well. Jennifer Jew Scott, a Hong Kong-based tech executive and TED speaker focused on privacy issues, was concerned about the dangers of giving her two children, aged 10 and 11, smartphones, given her deep understanding of the power and perils of technology. But unlike Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, she quite relatably found herself unable to resist her daughter's pleas until they were high school sophomores. So she drew on her professional experience and then made her kids sign a 3-page, 15-point user agreement, quote-unquote, for their phones. So they had to agree to share their passwords with her, ask for permission before signing up for social media accounts, be open about harassment or strange phone calls or messages, and answer any questions about how they were using their phones. Part of the agreement was this crash course in internet privacy as well, discussing how everything we put online is likely to be read, used, and even sold in ways that we actually can't begin to imagine. Etiquette and overuse are also covered by the agreement. It bans phone use after 8 p.m. and requires that the girls put their phones down while socializing and walking. And it also contains a warning about the long life of potentially embarrassing photos and posts shared online. The basic takeaway from this experiment that she finds is that it seems to be working. She was quoted as saying, "I'm quite happy with them. Both of my kids have a strong sense of their privacy and their data." But it got me thinking about, you know, devices and kids, especially in the time of the pandemic where, you know, a lot of, you know, teaching and learning has been online, obviously, because we've had to pivot towards that. And how thin the line has become for kids and devices.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, when did you first own, like, your own phone or laptop or anything like that?
First phone was at 15 or 16, I think, the Nokia 3310. So that was my first, like, device, like mobile device. First laptop must have been in college. I think I was, when I was like 18 or 19, that was my first laptop.
Yeah.
Before that, we just had like a desktop PC at home.
Right. So for me, I think, I shared a mobile phone with my sister. So she was about, I want to say 10 and I was about 8. And that was when I first technically, quote unquote, owned. I think when I owned my own one, like properly for myself, it was also a Nokia phone. Can't remember which model, but it was when I was, I believe when I was 12.
Yep.
So it's kind of, you know, it's sort of getting younger and younger. And even nowadays, you know, the few times we do go outside, I will see, you know, babies with iPads. And it really did get me thinking, you know, what is that line between, you know, that much needed screen time that parents, honestly, look, we have like a PSA about it. Sometimes you do need the screen time just to have a moment to breathe. But, you know,
to distract them.
Yeah. But also, to what extent is that, you know, going to affect their development or going to affect the way that they grow up and the way that they live, right? I mean, I don't know. When you were younger as well, did you have any education on like the internet and the effect of screens and all this stuff like that we're more aware of now?
No, because I think when it was introduced, those were not concerns because you have a Nokia 3310.
Right.
Like, what is the most you can do with that phone?
I mean, if you hit the internet button, you just like scrambled.
Yeah. There's no internet button. It's like you play Snake. Or you just send SMSs and text messages and
you,
calls. So that's basically
program
it.
Your own ringtones.
Program your own ringtones.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, you get that on the internet and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was like a danger. It's not like having like an iPad. It's not having a tablet. And it's not like having full-blown access to the internet that we have now. And the internet itself was very different, just 15, 16, 17 years ago.
Yeah, now I think there's so much content on the internet that it's so difficult to really regulate what your kids are or are not watching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a parent. I'm in fact like closer to the opposite end of that scale at this point. But you know, I do kind of wonder, you know, what are kids looking at on the internet at the moment? You know, I think I grew up in a time where there was a lot more content, but still it was a lot easier to know, you know, which were kid-friendly websites and which weren't.
Yeah.
And now I think it's getting a bit blurred, especially like, I think I mentioned this yesterday again, like YouTube for Kids even like has some content on there. I don't know how pervasive it is on there now that, you know, they discovered that it was happening.
Mm.
But there is some content on there that's supposed to be, like, it looks like it's for kids and then it's not. You know, and then there's also like an element of, I also know that kids can handle a lot more than I think adults like to take them for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of content on the internet that I personally would be like, oh no, I would not let a child watch this. Meanwhile, children are watching it and like, you know, they know the content well. There's a YouTube web series, I think, called Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared, that it was really interesting. I watched both adults and kids react to that series. The adults were horrified. The kids were singing along.
Okay.
Right? So it's one of those things where, you know, it's a very thin line, and it's very interesting to me that, you know, you can have this sort of user agreement and be, there's this whole focus and this whole new awareness now, and especially, you know, over the past year of like, what is that line and where do you put the boundary down, right?
That's actually a good point because like, same, not a parent, but I don't know if I was,
yeah,
like, how do you even decide?
Because I
would constantly second guess myself. I would be like, no, you don't get a device. But I'd be like, am I stifling their development if I don't give them a device? Like, am I keeping them out of the zeitgeist? You know, are they like being left behind because they're not in touch?
I mean, honestly, half my personality at this point are memes from the internet. So I really don't know, right?
You see, so how do you decide? Like, how do you do that? And everything you do for your kid is going to shape the way your kid grows up. I mean, whether or not that's a nurture-nature thing. But how do you make those decisions, whether to give someone a device or keep the device away from them?
Exactly. Well, luckily, we are not the only people talking about this, and we will actually have an expert after the break, who is Daisy Ng. She's a mother of three, as well as, casually, a chief education officer of the education consultancy Gifted Kids Asia and also childcare center Trinity Kids Malaysia as well. So we'll be speaking to her to get her thoughts on this after the break. But for now, it's that question. When should children start having personal tech devices like phones, laptops and tablets? And why? Let us know on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Here is Beautiful Day by U2.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Christine Wong, and
Arvind Braj.
And our question for you today is, when should children start having personal tech devices like phones, laptops, and tablets, and why? So we've got some responses on Twitter, we've got some responses on Instagram at BFM Radio, and I don't think any on WhatsApp so far, right?
We have one WhatsApp that just came in.
We have one WhatsApp, so if you want to get in touch with us on there, it's 018-789-8899. Give us those poll numbers.
Yeah, so it is at, from the start, 8.3%. When they start school, 39.1%, so very high. As late as possible, 42.6%. And when they are adults, 10.1%. Mm-hmm. Sudeep says, whenever at the point when they know how to use it safely and in good manner, when they know how much to use, it doesn't matter what age, as long as they are good with how to handle it, they can use it.
Okay.
And then we have one from count.com who says that should be when it is needed. So I want to go back to what Sudeep said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a place where it's like, if they don't start to use it, they'll never know how to safely use it.
Yeah.
Like driving a car.
Yes.
You know, you'll never know how to be a good driver if you don't start driving a car, right?
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that logic checks out, but I don't think they should be barred from using it altogether anyway.
Yeah. We also have a poll on Instagram. It's a little slider poll, which with the same options as Twitter. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, the average answer seems to be on as late as possible, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a couple of responses here. So we have a Dreamy Man who says, the world is changing. They should learn ahead of time and get info from the internet with monitoring. Nala the Nala says, definitely not from the start so that their early development will not be impaired by excessive screen use, but tech devices might be heavily featured in future education systems,
mm-hmm.
so they still need to know how to use it. What do we have on WhatsApp?
On WhatsApp, a message from MZ who says, my child started using mobile devices since about 2 or 3 years old. She has got irreversible short-sightedness on both eyes, diagnosed at age 4. She now has to use a pair of 500 ringgit glasses and wear an eye patch daily. My advice to parents is don't do it.
I will say that I also developed short-sightedness when I was very young, but not from screens. I just read a lot. I would bring my books like to read in the dark, which I don't think helped. But it's definitely a concern, definitely for sure, for screen time. So we are not the only people talking about this today. We have Daisy Ng on the line. She is a chief education officer of education consultancy Gifted Kids Asia, as well as chief education officer of Child Care Centre Trinity Kids Malaysia. She also happens to be a mother of three, so maybe she can speak more to this than us. Daisy, thanks so much for staying on the line with us. So what age or stage of life, I suppose, do you think children should be allowed to own personal tech devices, and why?
I'm of the camp that is biased towards delaying introduction of personal digital device for as long as possible. My eldest child was born the year the very first iPad was launched. I had just completed my earliest qualification, read many parenting and child development books to prepare myself for motherhood. My instinct told me not to expose her to iPad. She was raised the organic, old-fashioned way with lots of reading, singing to, and affection from her human parents. She spoke her first word at 1 month old. After her precedence, we have to be fair, and it's no tech for her younger siblings as well for as long as possible. For my older two children, they started using iPad properly when they started at their current primary school. In their school, they had to use iPad for learning in classroom. It was a steep learning curve for my children. They were certainly not as technologically as savvy as their friends. But children learn so fast. What they want to master, we can't stop them.
Mm-hmm. What role do personal tech devices play in terms of education for children, especially in the light of the pandemic?
I'm thankful that COVID-19 happens now when we have stable internet for most parts. Personal digital devices are relatively cheaper and easy to get. It's a time for teachers and schools to level up and embrace technology as a medium. As learning programs become digitized, the array of choices widens for our child. For example, we could organize art workshops taught by an esteemed studio in Singapore. Our students in preschool could take a China Mandarin exam last year. My daughter is enrolled in a US-based gifted program. In our schools, we went digitized since the very first day of the first MCO and have maintained both physical and digital schooling concurrently since then. Some people have criticized that young children cannot learn digitally and hence give up on appropriate stimulation for the younger children whenever school closes. Now we take the feedbacks from our families very seriously, incorporate these feedbacks and provide improved robust digital learning with very positive feedbacks. In light of the current pandemic, the embracing of digital learning as a backup option has provided families with a tool to manage their family health profile, risk exposure, while ensuring a continuous learning development for their child.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Mm-hmm. So has the pandemic and our general shift towards remote learning changed the way you've seen the relationship between children and tech today?
In my line of work, I've seen firsthand the detriment effects of early access to devices. Many years ago, we first started noticing delays in some children in their motor skills and most notably writing skills. Then it was a shorter attention span to slower real-life teaching and a preference for entertaining bright loud videos. Reading takes a sideline. Our child is mastering reading later because there are other competing activities to gaining the pre-reading skills. More parents are reporting reading less to their child because they are busy. Maybe adults aren't reading themselves. Who are our child role model? As family becomes more silent, this affects speech development in children too. When schools are disrupted repeatedly, our young child may learn to self-protect from disappointment by shifting the communicating online with their peers. Presentation, communication skills, writing skills are impacted if we are not fleshing out our thoughts and articulating them properly without using emoticons. Most importantly, we may raise a generation where it's difficult to build a trusting relationship with open communication. Now, COVID-19 has jump-started our technological skill as students shift online to learn. However, digital learning is not an equal substitute. Prolonged reliance on technology fully for learning and social interaction has its cost that impedes the development of us as a human the way nature intends.
Daisy, to what extent do you think children should share the details of their digital presence with their parents? As in, should parents know their children's passwords or track their behavior, stuff like that?
I fully agree on supervising the child's digital presence. The child may access content he or she doesn't fully understand yet. The child may conduct and act digitally and is not aware of the full consequence of the action. This can be the case of cyberbullying. Child is a work in progress and it's normal for mistakes to be made. A key part about parenting is to correct and to provide guidance. Now, without visibility of what they are doing digitally, how does one parent? The blind spot can have adverse outcomes. Supervising can be done positively, such as becoming friends with your child online. Be the person they want to chat to. It's a good opportunity to bond with the child.
Okay. So, Daisy, as the new generations are becoming digital natives, right, should there be technology or even social media that is geared specifically for kids, and why or why not?
Well, have you heard of the saying, when there's a will, there's a way? So if we create a social media that's geared specifically for the kids, right, it's about regulating a different kind of content. Creating a different version may not see take-up or usage. Now, another way to implement this can be using the very same social media app that monitor languages or activities to pick up on cyberbullying or other cybercrime that's targeting children.
Mm-hmm. Last question, Daisy. Since the new generations are exposed earlier and earlier to technology, is it even possible to really regulate their tech and their internet usage?
Having early exposure and control over usage are two very different points. We cannot deny that our child may be exposed to technology earlier than us, but we can certainly do what we can to regulate the content, the access, and the duration of use. Now, if you think about it, limiting the time or the purpose they use the internet for will definitely help to regulate the content, the access. It's not a direct causation, but it certainly helps. Less time they have, then the more selective they have to be on the content.
Interesting. That's Daisy Ng, Chief Education Officer of Education Consultancy Gifted Kids Asia and Child Care Centre Trinity Kids Malaysia, as well as, of course, a mother of three as well. Interesting thoughts from her, for sure. We also have a couple of Instagram responses that have just come in as well. So Sean WJE says, don't think I should take away devices from kids because then kids can't relate to peers. And that's also a massive issue, right? The peer pressure of not being, you know, Daisy kind of alluded to it when we answered the first question, that her kids had to do some level of catching up, in terms of being technologically savvy.
Mm-hmm. I think someone, Sai, kind of echoes that, but it's also on the other end of that same spectrum.
All right.
Sai says that the moment my daughter's motor skills develop, I have graced their lives with the wonderful tech that are smart devices. Why prohibit the use when it is better to expose them to better understanding the world that they will inevitably enter, which is very true. I mean, my opinion. But other than passive intake from videos and games that are available on the Play Store, you can actively show them that there are ways to program and control how you can have technology at the whim of your creativity. If the children only stick their eyes on YouTube or Instagram, guess who they emulate that behavior from?
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Well, with that, that's our question for today. Of course, when should children start having personal tech devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and why? Let us know. Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio and WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Now we've got Peter Frampton with Show Me the Way on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.